Hi, everyone. Welcome to another KE Report webinar. My name is Corey Fleck, and I'm your host for this webinar. I am featuring a newer, I guess, gold exploration company on the webinar here. The company's name is Nucor Gold, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol NCAU, and on the OTC markets under the symbol PRCNF. I have the president and CEO, Luke Alexander, on this webinar with me. Now, we are taking questions as Luke goes through this presentation. Everybody, you can use the dashboard that pops up on this service to ask questions. Those will go directly to me, and I will work those in throughout the presentation. Just to bring everybody up to speed, Nucor is focused in Ghana on the Enchi gold property. The property already has a resource that stands at a little over 1.2 million ounces of gold. And the company has a 58,000 meter drill program that is underway. I've already gotten a few questions sent in to me regarding this drill program, so I will bring those up as Luke gets to some of those slides. But again, if you have any questions during this webinar, please enter them into the dashboard. And if you come up with any questions after this webinar, I can always be reached at fleck@keReport.com. Luke, I'm going to let you run with it here, so please take it away. I will also be cutting off my camera simply because I'm working off multiple screens and I don't want to be a distraction. So Luke, thank you for joining us. Please take us away.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Corey, and happy new year, everyone. I hope everyone had a nice break, and it looks like we're off to a real good start for the gold sector, so that's exciting, and thanks for tuning in today. First thing I'll do is draw your attention to this disclaimer. I will be making forward-looking statements during this presentation and discussion with Corey, so I'd encourage you to go to our website and have a look at that. While you're on our website, I'd also encourage you to sign up, if you haven't already, to LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, various other social media platforms where we share a lot of content, and a lot of people have found that quite useful. As Corey mentioned, we are based in Ghana. We've got a district scale exploration project there with a good resource. Here are a few of the key things that I think differentiates Nucor from a number of other companies out there. First of all, I'll highlight the management team. I think for a company of our size, it's rare that you get a management team and board like ours who've had so many successful wins for shareholders over the years. We're very well backed by institutional shareholders. We currently have about 35% ownership. A lot of these are dedicated long-only natural resource funds, so really nice to have that support. Management and insiders are incredibly well aligned with shareholders through our 32% ownership in the business. So ultimately, we think as shareholders first, and I think that alignment is key for any company. We are in Africa, in Ghana. Ghana is Africa's largest gold producer, producing about 5 million ounces, so great place to be operating. Our current resource sits at about 1.2 million ounces, primarily in oxides, very good resource for us to be building off of. We're about 20% of the way into a 58,000 meter drill program. It's the largest ever drill program on this property, and we've put out a number of results, which we'll be talking about. Good tight share structure, 99 million shares outstanding, and no warrants. Always like to highlight that we've never had to issue warrants to ultimately attract capital. And I think that speaks to the quality of the asset and the team involved. And you know, we think gold is a great place to be at the moment. Looking at the team in a little bit more detail, I guess maybe we'll start with my background. I spent 15 years on the investment banking sell side of the business. 12 of those years I was in London covering a lot of the big global natural resource funds based in the UK and Europe, and advising companies on the ASX, TSX, as well as AIM on different financings and deals that they were doing over that period. And that's where I met a lot of the team here. Doug Forrester, he's our chairman. He was the CEO of Newmarket, worked very closely with Doug, Blaine, and a number of the other directors who were involved in Newmarket, as well as Caliber. And that's where I got to know a lot of the team. And when I came in as CEO, Doug stepped up as chairman. A number of you are probably familiar with George Salamis, who's a board member as well, involved in Integra Gold and now Integra Resources. Doug Hurst as well, a founder of Newmarket, as well as involved in Northern Empire. So again, for a company of our size, I think having a team like this is crucial and ultimately a real differentiator for us. In terms of the management, at the end of the day, with my capital markets background, you don't want me choosing where the holes should go, and that's where having Greg Smith as our VP Exploration he's a key member of our team. Greg was running Calibre up until it became a producing company last year. He then left and came and joined us as full-time VP Exploration. Greg's got over 30 years of exploration experience around the world. He's worked on our Enchi project in Ghana for the past 10 years, so he knows it as well or better than anybody out there, and is very familiar with these greenstone hosted type deposits. So Greg's a key part of our team. Mal Carvasca, she came in as VP Corp Dev and IR about 4 or 5 months ago. Mal comes from a private equity background. She also worked on the corporate side with a number of different companies and is a very key member of our team. And it was a real compliment that she ultimately approached us to join Nucor. Dan Wilson, as a lot of you will know, having good social license anywhere in the world is crucial for mining projects. Dan Wilson, he's our country manager. Dan's worked on this project on and off for the past 20 years. He's been with us for the past 10 years. And ultimately, where you really see the value of Dan shine is when we went to kick off our drill program. Within a week, he had bridges being upgraded, roads being laid, and ultimately deals done with all the kind of key stakeholders in the community. So Dan's a key part of our team, and he's built a great team in country to push this project forward.
Hey, Luke, let me jump in here quickly, because I just want to ask about timing of how this team came together. Was it you that presented this project to some of the directors, or did you guys all get together and go out there looking for a project kind of like the Enchi project?
Yeah, so prior to Nucor, the company was called Pinecrest Resources. It had been around for a number of years, but really there had not been much focus on the company for probably a 5-year period. And main reason for that was ultimately the team was busy focused on Newmarket, Calibre, and those obviously were huge success stories. And ultimately that's where the time and energy was spent. I was chatting with Doug and some of the other board members and saying, you know, this is a fantastic asset. At the time, it was 1.1 million ounces of primarily oxide material sitting in Ghana, which is a great jurisdiction to be operating in. And, you know, the view was we should really be out there talking about this company, getting the drill rigs turning again, expanding the resource, making new discoveries and pushing this project forward. And that's when, you know, the Doug and the board turned around to me and said, well, why don't you come in as CEO? And I said, well, Doug, why don't you step up as chairman? And that's really how it all came together. Greg Smith, at the same time, he came back to join us as full-time VP Exploration. And then the view was we should really relaunch this company to show the market our true commitment to it. I'm obviously 100% focused on this, as well as Greg and Mal and the rest of the management team. So it's our main focus, and by renaming it Nucor and rebranding it, we ultimately was part of the view to show the market our recommitment to it. So that's how it really evolved and got going in May of last year.
Okay, thank you. And yeah, that's one thing to note. This is still a relatively new company. As I said on the onset, just came out May of last year. We can go on now. Thank you.
Yeah, so yeah, I'll just add to that a little. So it kind of relaunched, let's say, in May, and then we rebranded it in August. But there's been work done on this, back to Redback days and back to the early 2000s. And one of the things I often joke about is ultimately, as and when we build this to a 4 or 5 million ounce plus resource, it'll ultimately be a 20-year overnight success story. And you know, that's often the case with a lot of these exploration companies, is a lot of work's been done historically, and we'll get to it in a slide or two here. And we're ultimately able to benefit from all of that work that's been done. And again, I think that's one of the things that is a differentiator for Nucor and ultimately a benefit for our shareholders.
Okay.
Looking at the cap structure, I touched on this. So nice tight cap structure, just under 100 million shares outstanding. Very well aligned management and insiders through our 32% ownership of the business. So we ultimately think as shareholders first. Well backed by institutions, so 30%, 35% institutionally owned to date. When we relaunched the company in May, when I came in as CEO and Doug stepped up as chairman and Greg came back, a number of the investors and institutional investors who I had worked with for the past 15 years were quite keen to get involved in the company. So they participated in a small private placement, and then we were able to cross a large block of stock. And that's where a number of these institutions in the bottom left here, where I just circled, got involved and became 20% holders of the business. In November, we closed a $15 million financing. We added an additional about 20 institutional investors on that financing, which took us about to 25 or 30 institutional investors, which now own about 35% of the business. So having those deep-pocketed, long-term focused resource investors as part of our share register, I think is key for a company of our size to be able to execute on our plan and have support on a go-forward basis. I think the other thing that, for Nucor is within a month and a half of relaunching in August of last year, we had five tier one investment banks out of Toronto covering us from a research perspective. So you can see them listed here. And if your listeners have access to any of their research, you'll see initiating coverage reports from all of them, as well as follow-up reports on the various drill results that we've put out, as well as our updated resource over the last kind of 4 or 5 months. So to have that support from tier one investment banks out of Toronto, I think is really helpful as well. And it's been great to work with them thus far. So we kicked off that initial 8,000 meter program in August of last year. And on the back of closing that $15 million financing, we added an additional 50,000 meter, taking us to a total of 58,000 meter program. Looking at where we're located in Ghana, we're actually in the southwest corner. There's two prolific belts that run through Ghana, the Ashanti Belt, as well as the Sefwi-Bibiani Belt. We're on the Sefwi-Bibiani Belt. Directly to the north of us, you've got Kinross's Chirano mine. That produces about 200,000 ounces per year, sits at an endowment of about 5.5 million ounces. A number of you may have heard of the sale of Bibiani, or saw the sale of Bibiani at the end of last year. So that's an endowment of about 6.5 million ounces, past producer, which was recently bought by a Chinese group. And then to the north of that, you've got the Ahafo mine, which is one of Newmont's two producing mines in country, and it sits at about 15.5 million ounces. So needless to say, very large deposits, a long trend from us in country. And then if you look here, you can actually see that we butt up against the Cote d'Ivoire border. Directly on the other side of the border, you've got Teranga's Afema asset. So similar geology running right through our property across the border and into Afema. If you follow Afema and Teranga at all, you'll see that they put out a very positive exploration update September of last year. And as part of the Endeavour-Teranga merger announcement in November last year, you'll see that they actually highlighted Afema within that press release as one of the exploration projects that they're extremely excited about and expecting to have some results coming out of that shortly. So needless to say, to have them to the south as well, very excited about the exploration is nice for us and our shareholders.
Hey, Luke, 1 second. Let me jump in too, because regarding these belts that you're in, I think it's also important to note how long some of these companies have been in this belt. This isn't exactly a new area, is it?
No, absolutely. I mean, Ghana is referred to as the Gold Coast. And, you know, as you can imagine, it's referred to that for a reason. I mean, there's been gold production in country for 1,000+ years. And, a number of these companies have been operating here. And a lot of these have been company makers. I mean, looking at Anglo Gold, Obuasi deposit at 66 million ounces. I mean, you know, that's one of the largest deposits on the planet. So yes, there's a long history of exploration and mining in country, and that's something we'll touch on at the end of the presentation. But it's a real benefit for us to have all of that knowledge and history of mining in country for us to be able to leverage off of for our exploration program.
So Luke, one other thing that I'm seeing here is how big these deposits are, right? The Nucor Enchi project is there at 1.2 million, but we go up to, well, upwards of 66 million, but also in this same Bibiani belt, 15.5 million ounces. I know it's early to answer this, but people do always wonder, what is the upside potential here that you think is reasonable?
Well, our goal is to push this to a 4 or 5 million ounce resource and then ultimately, you know, reevaluate along the way. We'll get to it, and maybe I'll just, you know, start to answer that question with this slide here. So again, we're in the southwest part of the corner of the country, looking in a bit closer. We're a 216 square kilometer property from the northern end to the southern end. It's about 40 kilometers in length. If you look at where the mineralization sits within our property, as well as other mines and deposits along the Bibiani Shear, it's actually the second and third order splays coming off the main Bibiani Shear. So you can see that main Bibiani Shear that runs from the north right along the west of our property. And then you can see these second and third order shears or splays that come through our property. If you total the strike length of all of those, we've got about 100 kilometers of strike length. So true district scale exploration opportunity. We've to date identified about 25 different anomalies or targets across our property, of which we've only drilled on six. And you know, our resource of 1.22 million ounces actually sits within only three of those drilled targets. So needless to say, there's a huge amount for us to explore across our property, and that's why the main focus for us is to ultimately really explore aggressively here to see how big this could be. And our view is that we can grow this to a 4 or 5 million ounce resource and then continue to reevaluate as we go.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Looking at that 1.2 million ounces that I've circled here on slide seven, if you look at the diamond and RC drilling that was done to feed that 1.22 million ounce resource, you can see it's about 49 or 50,000 meters of drilling. So needless to say, the 58,000 meters that we're drilling at the moment is hugely significant, and we think will ultimately really add to that current resource that we've got, as well as make some new discoveries. And we'll get into a lot of that as we drill. Back to my comment earlier about being a 20-year overnight success story. You know, part of the reason I make that comment is if you look down here and look at this chart, you can see that there's over 88 kilometers of historical work that's been done on that. All of that work that's been done ultimately feeds Greg's geological understanding of the project and the rest of the team's understanding of the project. And we like to think helps to ultimately de-risk the overall exploration. So that's part of the reason I make that comment about the 20-year overnight success story.
Hey, Luke, how reliable has this past data been? All of that work that's been done here, obviously you guys have verified a lot of it. How well was it done? How much data do you have of it too?
Yeah, we've got all of that data, and it's all been in very good shape. So we're very fortunate to have all of that. And again, it's something that we leverage off and use for our overall, you know, understanding of the targets and the exploration across our property.
Okay.
So just zooming in a little bit more here, and if I can leave everybody with one slide that really, I think, and the rest of the team thinks highlights the district scale operation, it's our opportunity. It's probably this slide here. As you can see, you know, about 25 different targets that we've identified across the overall project. And, you know, this pyramid here on the left is our way of kind of showing you the systematic approach that we take from an exploration perspective and how we ultimately are going to look to de-risk the overall project for Nucor and our shareholders. Looking at the top of the pyramid, you've got our three areas that make up our current 1.22 million ounce deposit. So Boeing, Siyum, and Niam. We are continuing to drill at all three of those areas. We've just completed a bunch of additional drilling at the end of 2020 at Boeing, and we'll look to get some results out on that in the next week or so, as well as Siyum. We're drilling there at the moment. So we'll continue to look to expand the overall resource at our deposit areas. Below that, we've got drill-tested areas, areas like Kojina Hill, Quack Rom, and Arati. We had historical drilling at all three of these areas. Kojina Hill and Quack Rom, you'll see that we put out some additional drill results from those at the end of last year. We'll look to get back to both of those areas in early 2021, or I guess early this year, as well as Arati, which is all the way up at the north northern end of our property, and good past historical drilling there, and we'll look to get back there. Below that, we've got advanced targets. These are areas that we've ultimately done a bunch of trenching, soil sampling, and other work on those on these targets, and we'll look to drill these areas for the first time ever, with the ultimate goal of moving them into that drill tested category, and over time moving them into the deposit and into our overall resource. Below that, we've got a number of other targets that we've ultimately identified. These are at different stages, and as part of our exploration, we'll continue to do mapping, trenching, soil sampling to ultimately prioritize which ones we want to move up into that advanced stage target, with the ultimate goal of moving them up the pyramid into the drill-tested category, and over time, hopefully adding them to our overall resource. So if we kind of, you know, look at this page in, or this slide in 2-3 years from now, I'd like to think that this pyramid's been flipped upside down, and we've got, you know, as many of these areas sitting in the resource deposit category as we do in the ultimately in the additional target or advanced target stage. So that's really the focus and how we're systematically approaching our exploration. This might be a good place to talk about infrastructure. I know a lot of people, you know, think of Africa and think that you're in the middle of the jungle and it's hard to access. I mean, that couldn't be further from the truth with our project, and one of the things that we're very blessed about at our entry project. I mean, looking here, you can see me drawing a line across the middle of the page. That's actually a paved road that runs right through our property. You can drive 100, 110 kilometers an hour along that road. It leads you to the town of Enchi. Enchi's got about 15,000 people, so it's got all the services that we could want to ultimately support our employees and contractors who are working on our Enchi project. Along that paved road, you've got about a half dozen different petrol or fuel stations. You've got a power line that runs along it, cell phone towers in the town of Enchi scattered out throughout our property as well. So very good from an infrastructure perspective. About a 4 or 5 hour drive away from us is the current drill contractor that we're using, 3 rigs on site at the moment. So if we ever had any issues with tracks or pumps or compressors, they can have someone on site within a half a day and ultimately bring any parts that we may require, as well as drill company support. We've also got our assay lab, Intertech. They're about a 3 hour drive away, so really easy for us to get all of our samples off to them. They're actually turning those samples around in about 2 or 3 week period at the moment, so really great turnaround on those. And again, I think this speaks to what a great country Ghana is to operate in, and we're very fortunate from that perspective.
Yeah, that drill turnaround time is nice, because I think we all know what North American exploration companies are going through. One more question regarding this triangle here, Luke, is in terms of the current 58,000 meter drill program, is the drilling then focused on the top three down to these advanced targets, or is it mostly in the deposits and drill tested zones?
It's ultimately a combination of both. So we are focusing, so of the 58,000 meters, about 40,000 meters is primarily focused on RC drilling, both at our deposit areas as well as previously drill tested areas, and then testing some of these new areas for the first time ever. So that's kind of the focus from a RC perspective. And then the other thing that we'll talk about in a slide or two is some of the deep drilling that we're going to do for the first time ever. So early December, we highlighted that we had our first diamond rig show up on site, and it's starting to put the first deep holes into this project ever. So that's one of the real opportunities for us and our shareholders is, ultimately, if you look at the average depth to date, this project's only been drilled down to about 50 meters. And as we'll see, a lot of these greenstone hosted deposits, where you start to get into the higher grade is when you get into the sulfides and at depth. So that's one of the real opportunities. So I guess, Corey, sorry, to answer your question, a big part of it is focused on expanding the resource at our current deposits. As well as drilling deep at our current deposits, but then bringing Cochina Hill, Quackrom, Arati, doing additional drilling at all three of those areas with the goal of bringing them into that deposit category as part of this program, and then testing for the first time ever areas like Nequanta, Sium South, Tocosilla, and hoping to make some discoveries at those areas.
Okay, thanks. So, and it pretty much is, we do need to summarize here that you guys are still working on this drill program to build ounces, right? You're testing out these targets. You want to build ounces here.
Oh, 100%. So we are only focused at this stage on adding inferred ounces. We're not doing any infill drilling to move it up into the measured and indicated category. Again, the focus for us is exploration, and we think we can significantly increase the overall size of the resource, and hopefully that's highlighted on this slide here, the number of opportunities and targets that we have to go after. So we think that's where we'll ultimately create the most value for our shareholders is by adding ounces and increasing the overall size and that of the resource.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Yep. So in terms of a couple of things that work well from an exploration perspective on our project, so airborne geophysics works very well, as well as soil sampling. So we've done tens of thousands of soil samples across this project over the last number of years. You can see here, we'll just use Boeing perhaps as an example. You can see the airborne geophysics lines up very well with the soil sampling that's been done. You can see that at Sium, NIAM as well. So those are a couple of the things that work well from an exploration perspective. Maybe while we're here, I'll highlight Sium South. You can see here on the map on the left, Sium South is actually one of our largest anomalies. It's about 3.5 by 2.5 kilometers. You can see it lines up very well with the soil samples. We've actually started trenching down there. So we're doing about 1.5 to 2 kilometers of trenching with the goal of ultimately drilling that for the first time ever in Q1 of this year. So very excited to get a drill rig down there and drill that anomaly for the first time. Looking here, again, just in a little bit more detail, at the drill program that we've got and some of our existing resource, as well as some of the press releases that we've put out. So again, looking at Boeing, it sits at about 530,000 ounces. Sium, it sits at about 535,000 ounces. And then NIAM, we've got sitting at about 155,000 ounces. So those make up that 1.22 million ounce resource. I'd encourage anyone on the line, if they're interested in looking at some of the results we've put out. We put out to date 26 holes at Boeing, as well as 8 holes at NIAM. And then at Sium, we've put out about 10 holes. So we've put all that out there in the market, and we ultimately think that that's going to, as and when we put out an updated resource, which will be most likely in Q3 of this year. Keep saying next year, but we're 2021 now. Is ultimately going to add ounces to those deposits, and all three of these areas, as part of the continued drilling we're doing as part of this 58,000 meters, is we're going to continue to drill out those areas to ultimately look to expand the overall resource. Again, looking at some of those additional targets that we've talked about, you can see here, Quackrom, we had good results out at the end of 2021, including 4.71 meters or grams over 6 meters. good results at Cochina Hill and Arati. We're going to drill for the first time, or not first time, but get back to drilling there after having not drilled there in about 10 years, as well as Siyum South, you know, our largest anomaly that we'll be drilling in Q1 of this year. So that just kind of touches on some of the opportunities across the property. Looking here at our current block model for Boeing, Siyum, and Niam, which make up that 1.2 million ounce deposit, you can see highlighted by these yellow arrows here, all three of these deposits are open along strike in both directions. There's these gap areas highlighted by the blue areas arrows, specifically at Boeing and Siyum. We've actually just at the end of 2021 completed drilling this gap here at Boeing, as well as this gap here at Boeing. So we'll look to get some results out from that drilling in the next week or so, with ultimately the view to over time continue to drill these areas and get those captured within the current pits that we've got, and ultimately add to overall resource, as well as continuing to step out along strike and drill at Boeing, Siyum, as well as Niam. Siyum, you'll see that we started some drilling at the end of last year. Again, a lot of that drilling's focused on these gap areas where the anomalies, as well as the soil samples, run right through these areas. There just hasn't been any drilling. So that's a big focus for us. As well as if you look really closely and squint hard enough, you can see that there's a bunch of material that sits just outside of our existing pits. So we've got about 400,000 ounces of mineralized material that sits outside of the pits. So we have been putting some holes into these areas as well to hopefully bring those into the pits with that additional drilling. And we kind of view that as a little bit lower hanging fruit from an exploration perspective to be able to ultimately add ounces. But then, as I was talking about earlier, one of the big opportunities for us is for the first time ever to be drilling down to depth. So all of these deposits are open at depth. If you look at the average vertical depth of the drilling that we've done to date, it's only down to about 50 meters. So really been focused on the oxides, with a maximum depth of about 175 meters. But when you look at, you know, Chirano to the north of us, and on this slide here, we've got a longitudinal section looking at our Enchi project and comparing that to Kinross's Chirano mine, which again is 50 kilometers to the north of us, sits along the same Bibiani Shear as us, where they really started to double, triple, and quadruple the size of their resource was when they started drilling at depth. And that's pretty typical of these greenstone hosted deposits, is they typically extend further at depth than they do at surface, and ultimately typically increase in grade. So where, again, Kinross made their initial discovery hole at depth was at Paboesi. It was down at about 250 meters, 14 meters of 15 grams per ton. So that's the kind of thing that we were hoping for at our project as well. The first diamond holes at depth that we're drilling are at Boeing. Those started at the end of last year and will continue right through our drill program from here on out. So we'll be drilling down to kind of 250, 350 meters vertical, looking to make some higher grade discoveries at depth. So initially focusing at Boeing, but that also drilling deeper at Siyum as well as Niam. Main reason for targeting those three areas is that's where we've got the best geological understanding of the structures, given the amount of historical drilling that's been done there. But at the same time, as I've highlighted throughout this presentation and discussion, is we're going to continue to look to expand the resource at surface, so drilling those gap areas, as well as drilling out along strike, and then ultimately looking to bring some other areas into the resource category. So Quackrom, Cochina Hill, Arati, where we've had good past drilling, we'll look to move those into the resource category with additional RC drilling, and then make some new discoveries, hopefully, at areas like Siyum South, Nkwanta, as well as Tokasia, which isn't even highlighted on this map here. So resource expansion, new discoveries in the oxides at surface at areas that have never been drilled, as well as areas that currently don't sit within our current resource, as well as, you know, hopefully make some discoveries, some higher grade discoveries at depth. So that's the real focus for us from a drill perspective, is a three-pronged approach.
Okay, Luke, let me jump in here because you guys have so much on the go with this drill program. So a couple questions sticking to this slide. Any reason why you are starting at the initial deeper target, this Bowen target, or is it just that's just the process? You're going to test any of them or all of them anyway?
Yeah, so the main reason for starting at Boeing is that's where we've got the most drilling, and as a result of all the drilling that we've done there, we've got the best geological understanding of the structures. So, you know, with this deeper drilling, you're obviously following them down to depth. So, you know, given we know have a very good grasp of the mineralization closer to surface, it's a matter of chasing these veins deeper. So that's the main reason for starting at Boeing. But we do have an additional two diamond rigs showing up this month. So we will, you know, send one of those over to Siyum to do some deeper drilling. Again, you know, that's the area that we've got the second most drilling done. So we've got good understanding of the structures there. So we'll put deeper holes in there. And then Niam as well will be an area that, again, with all the drilling that we've done, we'll do some follow-up there. But then as we go, and again, one of the real advantages of us having 2-3 week turnaround on our assays is that, you know, as we continue to drill out these other areas, if we make a nice discovery on a step out hole at Cochina Hill or Quackrom, then we have the ability to send the diamond rig over there as well and start to trace some of those structures at depth as well. So we will, you know, continue to focus on all of the areas from a drilling perspective and ultimately prioritize them based on the results that we get.
One other question, if you could go back one slide too, I just want to compare these different deposit areas, because you look at CM and quite frankly, this is the largest actual contributor to the resource, a little over 300 or 535,000 ounces here. Why wasn't there any drilling in these gap areas if just this small area already has that size resource?
Well, it's just in terms of prioritizing, when the initial drilling was done in these areas, you know, the focus was, you know, was on these areas, and some of it is a result of access, you know, easier access to this area. Others was, you know, either the trench work that was done or the soil sampling work that was done ultimately meant that the initial focus for the drilling was on those areas. I mean, Boeing, for example, what's happening is, you know, there was initially drilling done up here as well as drilling down here. And, you know, it's now starting to merge into, and apologies for this, it's getting pretty messy, but, you know, it's starting to ultimately merge into one pit. And that's what we'd ultimately look for over time is, you know, that this, you know, merges into one large pit. Yeah. So all this material gets brought in, but, you know, you started off with focusing up here, focusing down here, because you're not sure exactly where you're going to find the mineralization. But, you know, what's starting to appear is that it looks like this might all connect into one large pit. Similar at Siyum, you know, you focus some of your drilling here and, you know, based on the results, now you know, it's pretty obvious that you want to drill in between these two areas. So that's really just, you know, the limited drilling or the drilling that was done historically led to us now having better geological understanding of where we want to continue drilling, and these gap areas are an obvious spot for that.
Okay, perfect. I'll let you run through the rest of this presentation, then we'll take care of some of these questions that have come in, please.
Yeah, so maybe the other thing that I'll just talk about before, you know, just talking about Ghana in a bit more detail, and I think I've sprinkled Ghana into a lot of the presentation, so I won't spend a ton of time on that. But we are looking at getting a PEA put out, most likely at the beginning of Q2. So that'll ultimately incorporate the updated resource that we put out last fall. So we increased our in-pit resource from 712,000 ounces to 1.22 million ounces. So needless to say, we think that'll have a positive impact on the on a PEA. So we're going to look to get that done, and hopefully that will ultimately, you know, continue to underpin the value for our shareholders. But I think the main message is our focus really is on growing the overall resource. But, you know, our view is that we ultimately will be able to continue to add value by updating the economic studies as we go and as we continue to find ounces. The other thing is, as of the end of 2020, we had completed about 18,000 meters of drilling. So we will be able to include some of that drilling in the PEA as well. And hopefully that adds a few more ounces as well and contributes to the overall economics. So that's the focus from a PEA perspective. And then ultimately, once we complete our 58,000 meters, which will be probably around May of this year, we'll look to get a full updated resource on the back of that. So expect for that in Q3 of this year. Look, we've talked about Ghana, but again, just to kind of recap, it is Africa's largest gold producer, produces about 5 million ounces per year. It's the seventh largest gold producer globally. One thing that your listeners might be interested in is on a per square kilometer basis, it actually produces more gold than Nevada. That surprises a number of people. But ultimately, what that means for us and for other mining companies in country is that the gold mining industry is hugely important for the Ghanaian economy as well as for the tax base. So you've got an extremely well-aligned government from that perspective. And also there's a huge amount of skilled labor in country, which is a real benefit for us. I mean, I get probably 5 or 6 resumes a day coming through my inbox from very highly qualified individuals in country. And we're ultimately able to, as a result, build a very strong team. And ultimately, that's a real benefit for our shareholders to be able to have that kind of expertise in country to draw on. And as I've spoken about in a bit of detail, I mean, having our drilling company within a 4-hour drive, having our assay lab within a 3-hour drive, and being able to get assays turned around in a two or three week period, I'd ultimately argue with anybody that Ghana is a tier one jurisdiction, and we're ultimately very fortunate to be there. So with that, Corey, I mean, the other thing I might talk about is ESG. I mean, that's a very important thing for us at Nucor, as well as for a number of our investors. So we are trying to do our best as an exploration company, operating in Ghana, to meet as many of the sustainable development goals as possible outlined by the UN. Things like donating computers to school, installing water wells within the various communities that we operate, fixing bridges, upgrading roads so that local farmers, cacao is the main product produced across our project. So, you know, upgrading bridges and roads so that farmers can get stuff more easily to market, as well as, you know, with COVID, our employees and our contractors and local communities are the utmost importance to us. And, so we've got all the protocols in place, things like daily temperature checks, social distancing, PPE and masks for all of our employees, hand washing stations, those kind of things. Maybe while we're talking there, or I'm talking about COVID, Ghana has fared incredibly well from a COVID perspective. I think, they've had some pandemics in the past, and as a result, were very quick to react when COVID, started to spread globally. They shut down all of their borders, and ultimately their international borders, as well as their in internal regional and provincial borders. And as a result, it really didn't hit Ghana as badly as it has a number of other places. And specifically in the western part of Ghana, where our Enchi project's located, they've fared even better. So very low number of cases there. So we're very fortunate from that perspective. With that, happy to answer any other questions you have. But from a news flow perspective, obviously we're about 20-25% of the way into this 58,000 meter drill program from a news release perspective. So expect results to continue to come out every 3 or 4 weeks as we drill. As I mentioned, the updated PEA, we're expecting that most likely beginning of Q2 of this year. And then as I highlighted, once we've completed our 58,000 meter program, we'll ultimately look to get a full resource update out, which will be in the second half of the year. And I'd anticipate that probably to be in Q3.
Okay. Hey, perfect. Thank you very much for your time, Luke. We do have a couple more questions that I do want to address. But again, everybody, you can send me your questions after this webinar, after you listen to the replay at fleck@kereport.com, and I will get Luke to address those. First, just a quick answer here, Luke, when it comes to management and their 32% shareholdings, you've said that they invested beside shareholders. When did this buying happen?
So it depends who within the management team and insiders, we're talking about. But ultimately, a number of the insiders and board have been investing alongside investors for, the past 5 or 10 years. When I joined the company, I wrote a big check into the company and have followed my interest on subsequent rounds as well. So. So it just depends. But on the last financing, for example, the bulk of the management team and insiders participated on that.
Okay, thank you. Now, when it comes to the resource, you said that it is a large amount in oxide. Out of the 1.22 million, what is oxide?
Yeah, it's a great question and something I should have highlighted. So, the bulk of the drilling to date has been focused on the oxide, so average depth of only 50 meters from a drilling perspective. So of the 1.22 million current resource, 75% sits in the oxides, 20% sits in the transitional zone, and only 5% in the sulfides. And the oxide and transitional zone, those both from the met work that we've done, ultimately lend themselves to heap leach operation, which as you know, and I'm sure a number of your listeners know, is obviously a much less capital intensive way of mining gold. So that's a big part of the reason why the historical drilling and a lot of our current drilling has been focused on those oxide ounces.
Okay, this kind of ties into the next question, but in terms of mineralization property wise or at least deposit wise, is it pretty consistent, even though it is such a large project?
Yeah. From the met work that we've done, it's relatively consistent. There are different structures within our property, but yeah, overall the mineralization is pretty consistent, and that's been shown in a bunch of the met work that's been done to date.
Okay, perfect. We'll wrap it up. One final comment, grade comparison in terms of the resource that you have, some of the grade that you have seen from the drilling already announced. How does that compare to other deposits in the area?
I think probably the best slide to look at is this one here. I mean, again, the Chirano mine sits right along trend from us, and it ultimately, that Bibiani Shear, as I highlighted, comes down to the east of Chirano and then, juts to the west of us. Those second, third order splays that I talked about run through both of our properties. And if you look at Bibiani as well, that's very similar. And if you look at, the history of Chirano, ultimately it started with 13 open pits. And again, the initial drilling was really focused on those near surface oxides. And then ultimately, the discoveries were made at depth. So that's why we ultimately within this presentation use this as an example of what we're looking to grow towards with the additional drilling that we're ultimately doing.
Okay, but grade-wise at this Chirano mine, the initial oxide, the near surface, was it comparable grades?
Yeah, comparable grades. And I guess maybe the way I'd answer that question from a grade perspective is we did put out a 2015 PEA, which has now been stale dated because we increased our resource from 700,000 ounces of in-pit to 1.22. But I'd encourage anyone to go and find that. It's sitting out there on CDAR. And you can have a look at that. But the economics on the heap leach project that was proposed within that project were very robust. So from an economic perspective and grade perspective, the grades that we've got within the oxides are very very economic, and hence the reason why we're looking at updating that PEA to have some some fresh numbers and some 2021 numbers that that investors and the market and the investment banking community can ultimately look at and kind of make their own analysis.
All right. Final question. I know I said the last one was, but this one just came in, and I think we just need to clarify this at the tail end. Cash position of the company, the budget of this current program, and the tail end of this question, when could the next financing be?
Yeah, so our cash balance as of September 30th, which we highlighted on that capital structure slide, was $17 million. Needless to say, we're aggressively drilling, so we're spending every month, but we will have an update on that with our updated resource. But the way I'd look at it, and I'm not trying to dance around the question, is when we complete our 58,000 meter, and the way we laid it out from a budgeting perspective is ultimately we want to make sure we've got enough cash to be able to run the business for at least a year post that completion of the program. So we want to get as many meters into the ground as possible. And as shareholders of the business, we think that's the way we'll create the most value possible. But ultimately, we want to make sure we keep ourselves in a position that we can weather any storms if there are any out there. So, so we're well cashed up for the next year and a half from that perspective.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Luke. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Again, a recording will be available shortly after we wrap up this webinar. I appreciate this update, Luke. There's a lot going on with this drill program, and I think it was good to get in front of everybody and explain that. Again, any other further questions, please direct those towards myself or somebody at the company. Luke, thank you again for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your week and a very happy new year.
Yeah, I'll maybe just leave one thing, Corey. So we are always very keen to engage with our current investors as well as prospective investors. So please reach out. There's contact details on our website. I'd also encourage everyone to follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook, whatever social media platforms you like the best. We do put a lot of content on there, and we always welcome feedback. So really keen to engage with investors and prospective investors. So please feel free to reach out. And Corey, thanks a lot. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Luke.